Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good morning, listeners. Welcome to the Dynamic Dojo Radio Show. Happy St. Patrick's Day, by the way. It's March 17th, 2013, and we're broadcasting live from Seattle, Washington. And we are doing our monthly Sunday brunch show. Now, as many of our listeners know, every third Sunday, we air at 11 a.m. instead of our usual 6 p.m. time slot for our Sunday brunch show. I'm your host, Christina De Jesus, and I'm joined by my co-host and brother in martial arts, Sifu Robert Deal. Sifu Bob, happy St. Patrick's Day and all that.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yay.
I don't know why you mentioned this because of the weather condition, but, you know, in L.A., it's been, since Wednesday, it's been in the 90s every day.
What? Really?
Yeah, I was in Riverside, which is pretty close to hopefully who is going to be our guest today, Daniel Heck.
Uh-huh.
And when I left on Wednesday, it was 93.
Holy crap.
Yeah, and it's been in the 90s ever since. Like, whew. Summer's coming early this year. You know,
that's crazy.
For 1 week, I don't have any jokes to say at my family's expense. 1 week. I always do. But I do feel sorry for my daughter because, you know, she's in choir. It takes a lot out of you. Friday,
yeah.
She has a competition after school. So she gets up at, now she doesn't have to be in school until 8 in the morning. She gets up at 5 to do her hair. Right?
Yeah.
So it takes a while. And so she goes to school at 8, doesn't get home until 11:30 at night.
That's kind of how my niece is. My niece, both my nieces, but my older niece is part of a drum line in Franklin High School up in Elk Grove, California. And they're an award-winning drum line. They performed at Disneyland, and they just won they won a lot of first places and stuff like that in drumline competitions. And they recently, yesterday, won second place in their division, I guess. And Kehlani leaves the house at around like 6 a.m. and doesn't get home till like 10. And she still has to do homework and stuff like that and blah, blah, blah. And she's still getting A's. I don't know how she does it. But
my daughter, too, she's getting straight A's. And because they don't give out A pluses in high school, she's getting straight A's.
Yeah, both of my nieces are. It's crazy how they're doing it. And my sister and my brother-in-law are just so proud, proud little peacocks. But yeah, they're doing really well. So yeah, well, I apologize in advance, Sifu Bob, if I start hacking up a lung. I've been fighting this nasty bug for like a week. It started like last week during our previous show where I was like coughing and hacking and stuff like that. Well, it got worse over the course of the week. In fact, it turned into a bronchitis, sinus infection, and an ear infection. And I still kind of have it.
Wow.
So,
you know what, Sifu? Nothing personal, but you're all jacked up.
Yeah. That's pretty much what my doctor said. She said that my whole upper body was all effed up pretty much. And yeah. But, you know, that's what I get for waiting like almost a week to get antibiotics, because I thought, oh, it's just my, you know, usual month, yearly cold, right? And I thought, wow, I didn't get it during Christmas, so, oh, okay, I'm getting it now. But it just got worse and worse. I had a fever of 103 for like 4 days. And then I thought, screw this, I'm going to go see a doctor. And they went, why'd you wait so long to get antibiotics? I'm like, what's going on? So, yeah. So if I mute my mic and it doesn't sound like I'm there. I'm there. I just have to hack up along.
Okay, got it.
Got it. All right, well, let's go ahead and get started with our shout-outs and announcements. So we'll go ahead and start with yours, Bob.
Very cool. Well, as usual, Elaine Yamano, Sensei Elaine Yamano, is having an event. Well, not really an event. It's an open invitation fight night,
we call it.
This is going to be held at the Cameron Community Center at 1305 East Cameron Avenue in West Covina on March 21st. at 7 p.m. at this event. It gives you the opportunity to spar with others that you usually wouldn't spar with in your dojo. This is a great experience for all who attend. Learn how to avoid getting hit, how to get a point, social skills, and work and working well with others. Remember, these events are free to all. It gives value to the student training. Perfect. If you're in the West Covina area or Southern California, want to participate in the Lions Fight Night, join in. It's going to be a great event.
Very cool.
The next thing that's happening is a fundraiser for the Jeff Speakman's Medical Fund. Sifu Rusty, you just Googled it. It turns out the Master Speakman has throat cancer. He's doing a fundraising seminar event that is going to be held on March 30th, 2013 in Pasadena. All proceeds from this event will go to this Jeff Speakman's Medical Fund. If you can help us spread the word, it will be greatly appreciated. It opens to ages 9 and up. Tentative schedule for the day will be 9:30 to 10:30, Dan Preble. 10:40 to 11:40, Tommy Chavies. 11:50 to 12:50, Bob White. Lunch will be from 12:50 to 2:30. 2:30 to 3:30 will be Paul Dye. 3:40 to 4:40 will be Benny the Jetter Kiedis. And 4:50 to 5:50 will be Ron Sanchez. This is going to be an amazing event. If you're in Southern California, please attend. Show your support to Master Speakman and wish him well. I hope he gets better. He's supposed to start chemo already, and I hope he gets better.
Wow, yes. Oh, my goodness. It's,
now, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, When I found that info about Master Speakman having throat cancer, it my heart sank. I was like, oh god, oh my gosh. But apparently he had already started his chemo and radiation treatment. So our thoughts and prayers go out to Master Speakman.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
The next one, you know who Simon Rhea is, obviously. Everybody knows Simon Rhea.
Right.
The long-time martial artist. Well, now, I think you misunderstood my message when I sent it to you. He didn't win the SAG Award. He was nominated.
Oh, right. I'm looking at the nomination thing from SAG.
He was nominated for Outstanding Performance by a Stunt Ensemble in a Motion Picture for The Dark Knight Rises. This is very cool.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's got to be, what, 80?
Yeah.
He's getting up
Simon
there.
Simon or Junry? Junry is 80-something, but I think Simon is...
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I was thinking of Junry.
Yeah, I think Simon is, like, our age.
Well, maybe your age. I'm 23.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. I'm never going to live that down, brother.
Never. Well, now I'm going to mute my mic, Rusty. You go on with your announcements because I got a call to make.
Right. Okay. All right. We'll see you in a little bit. So for
see
the
in a minute.
Okay. All right. So our next announcement is in regards to the Martial Arts History Museum. The Martial Arts History Museum will be having its honor awards. Michael Matsuda has announced this, and the museum honor awards ceremony is going to be held on September 7th. 2013. And it starts at 6 p.m., sign-ins at 4 p.m., with red carpet interviews going from 4 to 5 p.m. This is a formal event, so tuxes and formal evening gowns are required. And the location of the Martial Arts History Museum Honor Awards is going to be at the Burbank Holiday Inn Media Center, located at 150 East Angeleno Avenue, Burbank, 91502. And many, many great martial artists have been honored at the Martial Arts History Museum Honor Awards. So go ahead and Google it up. We have the actual announcement from Michael Matsuda on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page. So head on over to the Dynamic Dojo Radio Show Facebook page, and you can see the announcement there. All right. I've got another Facebook shout-out. Mr. Michael Mershad has a great article on our Dynamic Dojo group page, and it's called Anatomy of a Successful Martial Arts School. And this is actually part two. So there is a part one, but if you go to part two, I'm sure it's got a link on there to part one. But part two is about the core of your studio, quote-unquote. So check it out on the group page. The link itself was posted by Michael Mershad himself. So go check that out. All right. I'd like to go right on into health news, which is ironic because I'm sick as a dog right now, but I'll go ahead and do it. Okay. Now, the link to this particular story is also going to be on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page. And this particular health news bit is about five different food types that can drain your energy. So, first and foremost, of course, many of us know, greasy and fried foods can sap your energy. So, meals that are high in fat, basically, those that are contained in, like, fried foods, don't do your brain function any good. Studies have shown that high fat content foods can cause fatigue in the short run and actually decreased cognitive performance in the long run. Now, that I didn't know. I knew that greasy foods will make you feel run down and stuff like that, but I didn't know that it would actually result in decreased cognitive abilities. Now, this is apparently true, and especially, I can't even read. This is apparently especially true. Wow, say those two words together 10 times fast. Gee whiz. So it's especially true for meals that are high in fat and low in carbs, as well as a diet that is high in both saturated fat and refined carbohydrates. So, boy, I really love, like, greasy food. So maybe that's what my problem is, eh?
You just ruined my whole diet.
I know, right?
Greasy fried foods, red wine, and alcohol. That was it.
I know. It kind of sucks because it's like, I mean, granted, you know, Filipino cuisine is largely healthy in the long run. But, you know, when it comes to lechon, the roasted pig, and a lot of the dessert type stuff that we have, oh, my gosh, you know, I could eat that stuff all day. But apparently I shouldn't. So anyway, on to the next one. Another food type that can drain your energy is red wine and alcohol. So I don't know why it's labeled like that, because isn't red wine alcohol anyway? But anyway, but despite the health benefits of red wine, there is a reason why a glass of red wine before bed has often been recommended to adults who have trouble sleeping. Alcohol is a strong depressant that can often result in sleepiness. However, alcohol's effects on fatigue go beyond its depressant action. A brand new study about alcohol and sleep, which found that alcohol can make your sleeping patterns go absolutely nuts and can cause ongoing tiredness. Huh. Okay, that explains a lot of stuff. Okay. A few drinks can cause you to spend more time in stages of slow wave sleep, which is also what we would know as deep sleep, and less time in the REM stages that are necessary for improving your memory and alertness for the next day. So basically, you're snoozing for most of the night as opposed to actually getting good REM stage sleep. So that does explain a lot. But man, it's a good thing I hate red wine anyway. Red wine gives me migraines. But oh my gosh, vodka, martini, I got to have a martini. You know, one martini a day, that's been my thing. But oh well. All right. I'll go kind of quick here. Okay, low iron foods are another thing that can drain your energy. Anemia, which is a condition that is caused by low levels of iron in your blood, is the main culprit of fatigue, especially for us women. While there are a number of causes of anemia, ranging from menstruation to bone marrow diseases, low iron foods in the diet is an extremely big reason for fatigue. So instead of reaching for the low iron veggies, like, wow, this is weird. So instead of reaching for low iron veggies like carrots, celery, and cauliflower, try dark leafy greens like kale, spinach, artichokes, and other dark greens like that, which are all high in iron. Instead of a rice side dish, try lentils or chickpeas. Finally, consider occasionally switching low iron proteins like chicken and fish for red meat. Oh my gosh, this has been my diet for the last like couple months. A lot of chicken, a lot of fish, a lot of vegetables, and duh, a lot of rice because I'm Filipino, right? But I have been eating a lot of bok choy and kale and spinach and stuff, so I don't know about that. So it kind of gives a whole new spin on, you know, the usual lose weight diet of, you know, eat your carrot, your celery, and junk like that, right? That's kind of wild. All right. Next one, energy drinks. So stuff like Red Bull and what are those other ones? Red Bull. What's
Monster.
That other big? Monster, there we go. Which never really made sense to me why Monster came in those huge friggin' cans. Do you really need that much?
Yeah.
Do we really need to drink that much crap? Okay.
That's
but
like
anyway, I know it is. I was like looking at that going, oh my God, you know, geez. They're supposed to say Colt 45 on them if they're going to be that big, right? But
right, exactly.
Okay, so energy drinks like Monster and Red Bull can give you a temporary boost of energy, but as soon as the buzz wears off, you'll be feeling more exhausted than ever. And there's a link to a BBC article that reveals the results of this interesting study. And again, this whole link to this whole story, so that way people can get to the BBC article, is on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page. But the study says that sleep-deprived adults were given sugary energy drinks and asked to perform some monotonous tests. And another group was given an identical tasting drink with just caffeine. After about a half hour, the results were the same. But after 50 minutes, the sugary energy yucky drink crowd was falling way behind. You can go ahead and go to the link on Dynamic Dojo and click all the links to get more info about those. All right, last but not least, sugary breakfast foods like donuts, sweet rolls, cinnamon rolls, blah, blah, blah. All of those kind of pastries and stuff have a lot of sugar and white flour, and those are awful energy drains. It's unfortunate that so many Americans start out their days with a sugary breakfast. Like, even like cereal, I guess, counts for this, like Cocoa Puffs and Cap'n Crunch and stuff like that. But that's assuming if adults choose to eat breakfast at all. So essentially, when you consume a lot of sugar, the carbohydrates get used up real quick. The blood sugar rises, and then your brain stops producing orexin, which is what makes you feel alert. And it's actually called the donut effect. And there is a link in that part of the story on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page that you can go to get more information about the donut effect. I didn't know it had a name. That's crazy.
Yeah, really.
Because normally I go out the door, you know, with like a cinnamon roll or one of those energy bars, that kind of thing. And my mom's always like screaming at me just as I'm pulling out of the garage, "Here, you forgot your breakfast." And, you know, in the breakfast, she always has like a couple eggs, you know, and some whole wheat toast or something like that, something healthy, you know. And then I end up like not eating until lunch. And if I do, I get something quick, like at Safeway. And yeah, it's just awful. And I should change that. I think the only healthy meal I eat is dinner, to tell you the truth. And my mom yelled at me the other day, "This is why you're sick. You need to start eating breakfast." And I'm like, "Oh God, Mom, please, no, no, I'm sick. Please don't yell at me." Oh my God. Well, all right. Well, that's it for my health news bits. I think it's time for. Wait a minute. Let me look through my notes here.
Weird news.
It's time for weird news.
Well, and I do have an input about the energy drinks.
Okay.
I did something very stupid a couple of years ago.
Uh-oh.
This surprises you, I can tell. I took a 5-hour energy.
Uh-huh.
And then down to a full cup of coffee was at 11.
What?
I will never, ever, ever do that again.
I bet your heart rate shot right through the roof.
Right through. I felt like I was going to die.
Oh, my God. So what did
no,
you have
now,
to do? Did you just have
I'm
to
sorry, what?
Rest? Did you just have to rest until the effects pass? Because that stuff can stay in your system for at least an hour.
Yeah, I just had to wait it out. There's nothing you can do. It's already in your system.
Suck.
I know. It's horrible. Now, so now we're going to switch. You're going to mute your mic and make the phone calls while I do my weird news and weird laws, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Tag, I'm in. All right. See you in a bit.
Yeah, you're in. We do the high five and you go.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
My weird news and my weird laws both come from Maryland. A Maryland woman was shot. Miles an hour under the speed limit. The driver, who didn't want her name used, told NBC Washington she was driving in the left lane of I-95 in Laurel, Maryland, last Friday when she was pulled over by and cited for failing to move to the right. According to the citation, she had been driving 63 miles an hour in a 65-mile-an-hour zone. I was really shocked, she said. I thought, oh, my God, you've got to be kidding me. This was the first time she ever got a ticket, she said, was the traffic heavy, safe. Sometimes when it's dangerous, you have to, she said. NBC Washington meteorologist Doug Hammer said that winds were gusting at about 40 miles per hour. The reason the ticket is silly is because it was sending a wrong message. John Townsend of AAA Mid-Atlantic, and that is, we will tolerate you driving at more than the speed limit, but if you drive below the speed limit, then you're penalized for that. Boy, that does suck. The driver has filed a complaint with Maryland State Police and plans to fight the ticket. While police said they can't comment on the specific ticket, they said that driving too slow can impede traffic and that anyone who wants to fight a citation can do so in court. Now, the weird laws from Maryland. In Baltimore, you may not curse within the city limits. In Cumberland, Maryland, knocking stones into a public park is strictly prohibited.
All right, I'm back. No answer yet.
No
what did
answer
I miss?
Yet.
I'm gonna try. I'm gonna actually try calling in a little bit while we're live on the air,
cool.
Because the second time I called, the screening room wasn't like connecting for some reason. So I figure if we just do it live, it'll be okay. So
yeah,
okay.
When I was going through my weird news, I could hear the phone ringing.
Yeah, see? I don't know what was going on there. It's not supposed to do that when I'm in the screening room. So, yeah.
Well, I have emailed. I have called both numbers. I've texted. You name it, I've tried to do it.
Well, we'll try. And if anything, we'll just talk about Masters Hall of Fame, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we'll see if we can still have ambassadors call in and any other people calling in. So.
Right. We'll announce it, maybe Facebook it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
In Maryland, it is a park rule violation to be in a public park with a sleeveless shirt. This will cause a $10 fine, and this will include joggers that go shirtless.
Oh, my God.
Unfair!
This one I don't get. I do not understand this. In Maryland, it is illegal to mistreat oysters. How do you mistreat an oyster? Taunt it?
So what does that mean? Just make it think that you're going to take it home for a pet and then crack it open and eat it with lemon juice and hot sauce? You know, I mean,
right.
Is that, you know.
It's nuts. No. This came up a little earlier, but in Maryland, you may not swear while on the highway. I would just turn in my license at that point.
Yeah, right? And how is that police?
Yeah,
is there
anymore.
A microphone in everybody's car?
Right.
That's crazy.
I guess flipping somebody the bird to be considered swearing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That is so weird.
That is strange. That's why these are called weird laws.
Wow.
Now, let's move on, and this is your field. Let's move on to trivia facts.
All right. So normally I have a trivia question of the week where people can call in. But this week I wanted to do something different and give trivia facts. So, I mean, this little segment is always going to be about trivia, but we figure not every week will be a call-in contest. So anyway, did you know that there was really a Captain Morgan? Now, I don't drink rum. In fact, I hate rum with a passion, but this actually was interesting to me. There really was a Captain Morgan. He was a Welsh pirate who later became the Lieutenant Governor of Jamaica. Wow. So that's trivia fact number one. Trivia fact number two. Did you know that Kool-Aid was originally marketed as Fruit Smack? Fruit Smack. Can you imagine the Kool-Aid character busted through a wall and going, "Oh yeah, Fruit Smack"? No. That doesn't sound right. Okay. And number three, the last one. Only one McDonald's in the world has turquoise arches. Government officials in Sedona, Arizona thought that the yellow would look bad with the natural red rock of the city. Therefore, turquoise arches. And those are the trivia facts of the week. More useless tidbits to put in your brain. All right.
Well, do you know where the word trivia comes from?
No, I don't, actually.
Well, try this. The word trivial.
Oh, which means?
Doesn't mean a darn.
Yeah, right. Oh, I thought you had the actual word history with it, like how it came from Latin or whatever, and stuff like that. I was like, I'll have to look that up anyway. All right. Well, let's do this real quick. Let's go ahead and take a quick commercial and PSA break, and then when we come back, we are going to try to contact our special guest, Hunchy Dan Hecht. So we'll be right back after this.
Experience the history, beauty, culture, and tradition of the martial arts at the world's first Martial Arts History Museum. Located in the city of Burbank, California, visitors will enjoy learning how Asian history became part of American history. For more information, visit our website at mamuseum.com.
Need to get some rest. This is the worst headache ever.
Right arm's all tingly all of a sudden. Must have slept on it last night.
I keep losing my balance. These old bones need some exercise.
Granddaddy, what you just said doesn't even make sense. It sounds like gibberish.
Signs like these could be more than what they seem. They could be a sign of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Sudden trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
If you or someone you know has any of these symptoms, don't wait. Call 911 immediately. You could make a difference in someone's life, someone you love, maybe even your own.
Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
And now, on with the show.
All right, we're back. If you're just tuning in, you've just tuned in to the Dynamic Dojo Radio Show with Rosita and Robert. It's March 17th, St. Patty's Day, and we are hoping to get our special guest, Hunchy Dan Hecht, on the line. So, see, Bob, how about we call him live on the air here?
I would like that.
Okay, let's do that.
I would like it more for him to answer the phone.
Yeah, you know, when he texted you yesterday and said that he thought it was yesterday, right?
He thought it was last night, but I made it very clear it was today.
Oh,
so
okay.
Something may have come up and we haven't heard from him. I have emailed and texted him, tried to call him. Let's try it again.
Yeah, let's try it again. And if not, we will talk about Masters Hall of Fame, considering that it's coming up pretty soon. So let's give him a dial. Excuse me.
I thought somebody answered.
I know, so did I too. Doesn't sound good. Well, it dropped me. It said that the call failed or was not answered.
try the other number real quick, then we'll move on.
Okay. Let's see here. Hold on a sec. I'm going to dial this and mute my mic and you answer because I'm going to cough up a lung. Okay. Let's see. 951-53. Gosh. Sorry, everybody. Okay, I'm going to mute my mic.
Okay. I'll put that on.
That it's not going to voicemail.
It did when I called, though.
Huh. Well, it dropped me. It said the call was not answered or it failed. Huh. Well, I'm hoping he's okay, but something might have come up.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But he is one to have let me know, so we just hope he's okay.
Yeah, exactly, because normally when you text him, he texts right back.
Yeah.
Yeah, with me too. Every time I've texted him, he texted right back. But until then, we'll try him a little bit later. But until then, since our listeners are here to pretty much learn a little bit about the Masters Hall of Fame, let's go ahead and talk about it a little bit. Now, you've been an ambassador for a lot longer than me. This is my first year being an ambassador. So I'm just going to leave it up to you to tell our listeners what exactly the Masters Hall of Fame is.
Let's not leave out something. Who was this beautiful person that inducted you into the Hall of Fame?
That was you.
That was me. What a beautiful person I was at the time.
Yeah. What do you mean at the time? I still think you're beautiful. Aww.
Oh, don't go cheese. I love you, man.
Oh, don't change. I love you, man. No, yeah. I mean, and I'll go ahead and tell this story first because I think it's kind of funny. Even before I met Sifu Robert, I get this email around, I forget, it was like around February or March or something like that.
Yeah, about 2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, about 2 years ago, 2011, some months before the Masters Hall of Fame. And I got this random email from Sifu Robert. And it pretty much said that, he'd been following my my profile, and which is funny because I don't remember friending you on Facebook, but I don't know what happened. but apparently you were like one of the 5,000, right? And anyway,
right.
He sent me this email saying that he'd been following my profile, looked at my
wow.
History. And my bio and my websites and stuff like that, and went, I'd like to nominate you into the Masters Hall of Fame. Now, I had heard of the Masters Hall of Fame offhand through several other people, but never visited the website, but, you know, heard about it. And I thought it was a joke, right? And I think I emailed you back and said, is this a joke?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I did. I said, hi, Sifu Robert. This is Restita. I'm honored. Wow, is this a joke? LOL. Right? And Sifu Robert emailed me back and goes, no, I'm completely serious. And, you know, here's the website, blah, blah, blah. And I went to the website, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, he is an ambassador. And, oh, my gosh, I am being nominated. Oh, my gosh, I should accept. So so I did, and 2011 was held at the Disneyland Convention Center, or the Disney Convention Center. And it was the greatest excuse to take a vacation and to meet, you know, a lot of people that I've only read about, and to meet you, of course. And it was kind of funny when I got to the convention center. I'm like, okay, the only thing I have to go on to find Sifu Robert is a picture. And I think the picture that you had on your profile was when you had hair.
Oh, you're lucky we're on the air.
I know, right? No, I'm kidding. No, you've got like a bajillion other pictures, you know, of you current, right? And I went, oh, there he is, right? And I think you were talking with, I forgot who you were talking to. You might have been talking to Robert Parham, I forget. And I came up and I'm like, Sifu Robert, is that you? And he's like, oh my gosh, rah, 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 right? And it was just a great evening, wonderful evening, very memorable. I won't ever forget it. And then last year, I got asked to be part of the ambassadorship, so to speak, which is a great honor. I was really honored to be asked by Hanshi Dan to be an ambassador. And I guess all I can do now is do my very best to represent the Masters Hall of Fame the best I can, and market the Masters Hall of Fame the best I can, and find more well-deserving individuals, just like all the other ambassadors are. So pretty funny. Is this a joke? Really?
That one's actually pretty funny.
Masters Hall of Fame? Well, really?
Well, the Masters has grown over the years. I started going, I think I've gone every year since 07. Now, my best friend in the world, Sophie Greg Woldridge, was nominated and inducted in 07. Had a great time, but there was about 200 people there.
Wow.
And I was nominated and inducted. And I was asked to be an ambassador at that time. And every time Dan Hanshi asked me help with something, he came to me. And I do the best I could to do what he asked. Problem was that, you know, if I was head of a committee or whatever, I couldn't get the backup from the other ambassadors because they had, you know, they had other things they were doing within the organization. My first year, I only got two inductees. I think the years after that, it was, I think when you were inducted, you were online with Frank Dukes. I nominated and inducted Frank Dukes.
Right.
I nominated and inducted Gracielle Cecilius that year, even though she was online with, she was part of Alfred Urquidy's nominations that year. I did Alan Abbott, the late Alan Abbott, and I did his daughters last year. They were nominated and inducted. See, I had to keep going with that thought. that didn't exactly sound right. Now, in your experience, well, you don't have much except this year.
Yeah.
Have you had any negativity, anything when you ask somebody, can I nominate you because of your experience, your years in, anything else?
No, I haven't had any negative experiences whatsoever. I mean, all of the people that I've contacted so far have said, oh my gosh, it's a great honor. But some of the people that couldn't make it were really bummed out that they couldn't come because they, you know, wanted to see me. Because like most of the people that I nominated, I only see maybe once a year or maybe once every other year. And they're like, I really wanted to see you, spend some time with you, you know, hang out, that kind of thing. And it's a great honor. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But I can't make it this year. And I said, that's all right. That's all right. I can nominate you next year, you know.
Well, now, have you talked to Sensei Lori from Canada? Is she coming down?
She can't.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Now, biggest thing is I've noticed not really negativity. Sometimes they can't make it due to travel, due to expense. I understand that. Now, one of my nominations this year is absolutely locked in. So, Guru West, if you're listening, you are locked in. Guru West, if you didn't see it yesterday, announced that he was accepting the nomination to the Masters Hall of Fame.
Oh, my goodness. Our tables, I guess I should say, and I hope they put your and my table next to each other. Because I'd be upset if, like, I'm across the room from your table.
Well, we can always, now, I've never, because they've been so busy, and one hand doesn't know what the other hand's doing sometimes, because they have so many people doing so many different things to help
right.
out, that sometimes you make a request that isn't fulfilled, nobody's fault, it's just somebody doesn't find out about what you want. Now,
right.
last year, I was outside helping Auntie Dan's wife, Dana Head, and she checked people in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like I said, a week or so ago, I must have had complaint department written on my forehead.
I remember that.
Was saying, how long is it going to take to get in? We had somebody came up to me that actually had Fumio Demura there. The great
right.
Fumio Demura, he's walking on a cane. It's like, we need to get this man seated.
Yeah.
Quickly. And things come up like that. It was a great event last year. The red carpet went unbelievably well. Now, what happened, if anybody wasn't there last year, as soon as we got our line done, when all the inductees were given their awards, their medals, what have you, we walked out to this red carpet and had our picture taken with all of our inductees, which was, like, really cool. David Kamisoy did a wonderful job.
Yeah.
He's a great artist, a great photographer, great videographer, and he's really helping the Masters out a lot. And the events just keep getting bigger and better every single year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, now this happens every year. I call Hanji Hecht up. They say, Hanji, how is the event coming? And about a month before the event, he reaches the freakout zone. he's telling me, you know, I expect maybe 200 people there. I'll be happy at that point. Because, you know, it's not about the money. It's about recognizing the artist.
Uh-huh.
And about a week before, he had like 400 seats filled.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I do like the smaller venue because, you know, it's tougher to communicate with large venues. And he tried entertainment over the years. Some of it worked, some of it didn't. But he had some taiko drummers one year. Great entertainment, but you couldn't hear yourself think because you know how loud taiko drummers are.
Yeah.
They're exceptionally loud.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the martial artists that are there every year, Don Wilson, Eric Lee, we had Bill Wallace. I think, actually, I stood online with Bill Wallace the year I was inducted. Kathy Long.
Oh, cool.
So I had some big company when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
This year it's going to be held same place it was last year at the Costa Mesa Hilton. Great venue, great food. The biggest thing I've heard in the past is the food sucks. you were there when it did. You were inducted when it did.
Oh, gosh. I remember that. It's like, you know, what's funny is that whole day I was just kind of like hanging out and just kind of like being a tourist in the city. And then I went, oh, you know, maybe I should get something to eat. And I went, nah, you know, I'm going to eat at the banquet. Right. So when I got there, I was hungry, which is probably the stupidest thing to do. Right. Because, OK, oh, look, drinks. You know, I'm going to have a couple cocktails, right? So after a couple cocktails, I'm more hungry, right? And then the food comes, and I'm like, really? But I ate it because I was starving. And I think everyone else did, too, because everyone was hungry.
Right?
You know, when you're hungry, anything smells good. But then we were like, really? But, you know, there's no blame on any of the organizers or anything like that. It just so happened that the food sucked, you know. But
right. Was, and Dan went ahead and he changed that. He wants to make it better. He wants people to come back. You know, he doesn't want any negativity. Really, there isn't. It's a great organization. I'm honored to be part of this.
So am I. Yeah.
We get medals as returning alumni every year, which is really cool. When you were inducted, they gave out, remember the wine glasses?
Yeah, those are so cool.
That was
so cool.
Really touch a class. They have a photo op every year where they'll have the banner of the Masters with a carpet in front of it to take pictures in front of, to give you something. You get a nice certificate worth framing.
Yeah.
Great trophy. It's not like one of these little dinky aluminum things. It's a crystal trophy.
Oh, my goodness. They're elegant. They are so cool. Very elegant. Very classy. High quality. I mean, these are not, you know, dart-throwing championship trophies, folks. These are, you know, the Masters Hall of Fame spares no expense for making this event a very memorable one for ambassadors and alumni and family and friends of the ambassadors and alumni. It's great. And I greatly urge martial artists out there that might be listening to check out the Masters Hall of Fame. They do have a group page on Facebook, Masters Hall of Fame, and join the page, you know, get some info and stuff like that. And who knows, you might be inducted someday. So, you
right.
know.
And it's well worth coming to L.A., you know, Orange County to the event. The event is an amazing event.
It's beautiful.
Year.
It's a beautiful event.
We've been invited to the event. Oh, plus we're having seminars. We're having some great seminars. Dana Abbott, you're teaching a seminar.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bob White may be teaching a seminar.
Mm-hmm.
There's some great artists. It's just a great thing to go to if you're inducted. Try to make the trip. I know Wes Bennett's going to be there. Girl Wes, him and I studied a lot of the same people. Ted Lukai. I hope Patrick McDaniel will be there. There are a lot of locals that have been nominated, and hopefully they'll accept the induction. We've inducted people from, I think one of my inductees that couldn't make it last year was having problems getting out of the country with a visa. I can't even think of his name right now, but he's out of the Philippines. People from Europe have come over, Africa. We've inducted artists from all over the world. It's just been an amazing event, growing every single year. The biggest negativity I do get is that the inductees must buy their own dinner. That's it.
Yeah.
Everybody, the ambassadors, the special guests, everybody pays for their own dinner.
Yeah, but
this go ahead.
But the thing is that, you know, I've yet to hear or go to an awards event like that where it is free. Now, I don't know if, like, you know, Sifu Allen Goldberg has a really, really big awards event. I don't know how that works over there, if all the inductees are free. But, I mean, that's a big expense, you know, to feed,
that
like, maybe 400 people for free. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, typically there's 100 inductees.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Until we get a sponsor that can come in, that is a huge expense.
It is. Huge expense.
That would be like $10,000.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why we charge dinner. But even somebody like Frank Duke, everybody would think, well, he shouldn't have paid this or that. And he didn't even bat an eye.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no problem. The one I got static from on his end was one of his students.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Students are always going to be really loyal and stand up for their soaking,
yeah,
and that's
that.
Yeah, and that's the student's job basically. And in a situation like that, I believe that students should step up and put up the money to send their teacher, right? So that way the teacher doesn't have to, like, you know, at least pay for dinner, you know. In fact, that's what I'm going to be doing. One of my nominees, Grandmaster Cheryl Johnson, we plan on holding a seminar, a fundraising seminar, to send her there to cover her her travel, accommodations, and her dinner. And I'm hoping
that's the way to do it. Do it far enough in advance where she can get a good price on a plane ticket.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I kind of want
to get started
on that.
That's a one-day thing. She'll make the money, and it'll be perfect. And I urge the other instructors to do that. They really want to come, know it's a great event. They can look it up online. It's at mastershalloffame.org.
Mm-hmm.
We're on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. We've got some RSS news feeds, YouTube. We're all over the place.
Right.
Yeah, and this year we plan on giving, now I'm not sure about the charity, but Bob White has a youth charity, like a youth camp, and we plan on giving a donation of about $2,000 to his youth camp this year.
Oh, very cool. Very
you
cool.
There comes a point, Sifu, where as artists we have to really, really start giving back.
Exactly. Exactly.
Do you remember what did your student Ken give you as a Christmas present in 2011, basically?
He gave me all expenses paid to go to USCMAS.
Right.
Right.
And you were just talking about the student's not responsibility, but show your loyalty. You know, he had the fun, and you had a great time teaching. We had a great dinner, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, I still thank him from the bottom of my heart for that. I wasn't expecting that. I mean, I had the money for my plane ticket and stuff like that, but then I was like, oh, gosh, you know, the hotel, you know, because I wanted my own room. I wasn't going to room with Ken. That would be dumb, right? And, you know, he's like, oh, don't worry about it. I was buying my ticket, so I just went ahead and bought yours. And I went, oh, well, I'll pay you back. And he's like, no, private lessons. No, that's all right. You know, and then I pull out my credit card for the hotel, and he's like, oh, I got it. You know, Merry Christmas. You know, so that whole weekend must have cost him, like, definitely more than a grand. You know, at least 15 to 2, you know, going everywhere we went and meals and stuff like that. It was, you know, and I thank him a lot for that. And the thing was, is that I wasn't expecting it. And this could actually be a subject for a future forum show, actually. But, you know, as a martial art instructor, when you're least expecting it or when you're not expecting it, or if you go into a situation with no expectations or ulterior motives, you'll be surprised at, you know, what stuff comes your way. You know, people will call them blessings or a stroke of luck or whatever, but you'll be surprised. Whereas, you know, I've met a few, you know, martial artists with, like, less than 20 years of experience that, you know, expects their students to wait on them hand and foot, wash their freaking cars, you know what I mean, pay their house payment. And it's nuts like that, you know, to anyway, but I'm not going to go into that. That'll be a different subject for a forum show.
Well, it was funny the way you said it. Ken made it sound, as a matter of fact, oh, you know what? I was just taking care of mine, so I took care of yours too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's exactly how it was.
It just so happens that, ah, so what? They charged more of my credit card. So what?
Yeah. You know, and I was just like, whoa, you know, And the only thing he asked me was, yeah, do you prefer to leave in the morning, late morning, or afternoon? And I'm just like, it doesn't matter to me, dude. Thank you. You're paying. You pick. You know? I mean, it goes both ways, you know? And I did teach him on the side. You know, we went outside in the evenings and stuff, and we went over stuff and stuff like that. You know, not because I felt I had to, but because, you know, he's a student, you know,
right.
And he could be, you know, he was working too. He's a financial analyst, advisor, and he was working. I knocked on his door and he's like, got like all his laptops and he's on his phone. I'm like, dude, are you working? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, dude, you know, let's chill out for a second. Let's go outside and work out. You know, come on, you know, you know, but you're right. I mean, to give back, you know, getting back to the original subject, as martial artists, we have to give back, you know, rather than thinking, you know, always get students, make money or whatever. Well, yeah, give back because the community did make you who we are, right? Or make us who we are. So, yeah, give back for sure. And the Masters Hall of Fame definitely is an organization that does that.
Yes, yes. They're very much into giving back, you know, to charities. I know Hanji Hecht goes around to all the tournaments and supports them. I'm sure he'll be at Jeff Speakman's seminar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he'll be there. I'll probably meet him there.
Right on.
And he's always doing that. Maybe not so much the organization as personal. But he goes to the CEO. So it's a group thing. He's giving back from the Masters to the community, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
This year is the year of the woman in martial arts.
Right.
Or the year
right.
of women in martial arts. Our speaker this year is going to be a great Lisa King.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal artist, Thai boxer. Phenomenal. She's a beautiful person. She really is. I wish she was listening right now, but she's on her way back. I think from Brazil, because she, in one of her posts, she mentioned that she was on her way back to the States from, and she mentioned the rainforest.
Oh, Brazil.
South America.
Very
maybe.
Cool.
And God bless her. I wish her a safe trip back. And she's asking the ambassadors to give her advice on what to speak about. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, I want to hear about women in the ring. You know, she was a pro TIE fighter.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear about coming up. You know, next week we're having, and she's going to be on next week's show, we're
right.
having a show on women in martial arts. You know, I want to hear, well, you know, what hurdles did you have to overcome? How were you treated? That sort of thing as coming up in martial arts where you're not treated like an opponent. If you had a male trainer or a partner, were you treated like a woman or were you treated like a martial artist?
Mm-hmm.
Because you even have stories about maybe, you know, sparring or doing drills with your male counterpart, and they'd like, you know, aim if they were to aim for your head, they'd aim way off because
yeah.
they didn't hurt you, that sort of thing.
Exactly.
Very,
yeah, and I'm sure we'll be getting a lot of that. I'm sure we'll be talking about that too. But yeah, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun. For our listeners out there, in case anyone has any questions about Masters Hall of Fame, want to get more information about Masters Hall of Fame, our phone number here is 347-677-0699. Feel free to call in. We welcome any callers, considering we can't get a hold of our special guests. So if you have any questions about the Masters Hall of Fame, please call in, 347-677-0699.
Now this year's event is going to be held June 22nd at the Costa Mesa Hilton. And you can go to their website to purchase tickets. Even if you're not being inducted or if you just want to hang out, meet some people. I know people like the Abad sisters that are this is going to be their yearly thing. They're going to attend the Masters every year.
Mm-hmm.
One of my inductees last year, he sat at our table, Michael Rivera, which
yeah.
is going to be on our show on the first Sunday of April with his grandmaster, Richard Nunez, which started the Lima Lama system.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to attend this year as well.
Very cool.
And there's rewards in that, you know. You come and meet people, you talk. It's just a real fun night to get out and see the other martial artists, see people you haven't seen in years, or see people you've never met before. You know, I've seen Ed Parker Jr. there. Which has, I know we haven't got to him yet, but has consented to be on our show. He was actually going to be our first guest, but he had a seminar that day in November. And we'll get to him. And we'll get to a lot of the inductees this year. We're going to get to some of the pastors. Hopefully we're going to be able to get Han G. Heck on maybe another time. Something else just come up. Hopefully everything's okay. I'd rather hear, I'm sorry, Sifu Bob, I forgot, I had an emergency. I hope it's not something like that.
I hope so, too, that just something came up and, you know, it slipped his mind or whatever, because he is a very, very busy gentleman.
He's a police officer with USC.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to really get into that, you know, what the difference was between, like, a street patrol cop and campus cop.
I was always wondering about that, too, because our University of Washington over here, University of Washington, has its own campus police, complete with the cars and the, you know what I mean, that are always going through the university district. And I thought, wow, and they're armed. So it's kind of like, I wonder what the difference is. You know,
And honestly, I don't think there is any, because Han G. Heck was telling me that they also patrol they have a certain perimeter that they patrol outside the campus, and they will also back up LAPD if needed.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
You know, or if they can't handle a call, like Han G. Heck had to handle a call at a Denny's one time that's off campus.
Wow, that would make
that the LAPD.
That perimeter must be pretty big then. That would make the University of Washington's perimeter very big, because it would, gosh, you know, because we've got like so many, you know, off-campus campuses, you know what I mean? And they're like in all the surrounding neighborhoods. So that would...
Right.
That would, that would cover
like USC, UCLA, University of Washington, the larger campuses have their own police force. The community college district in Los Angeles, handled by L.A. County Sheriff's Department. Some of them, like I'll watch, there's an offshoot of the TV show Cops called Campus PD, and I'll watch that sometimes. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Like, there are a number of campuses that are handled by the local police department, like University of Cincinnati is handled by Cincinnati PD.
Wow.
So there were a lot of questions I wanted to ask on G. You know, hopefully we'll have him on again, maybe next month. He works at night, so we can't have him on our regular show on our front show. But no, back to the Masters. It's a great organization. We work hard all year long to recognize the best of the best, and we're not looking to recognize the superstars. We don't go after typically the Jean-Claude Van Damme, the Stephen Ball. Those people. One, because they charge an appearance fee. We want the backyard martial arts, the ones that deserve recognition.
Exactly.
And we do our vetting. There are some top martial artists every year. You know, like I said, Cynthia Rothrock was a couple years ago. Same year you were inducted. Great Bill Cecilius, you know, Frank Dukes, which I don't care what you say about Dukes, he is the gentleman's gentleman.
Right.
I hadn't seen him in like 10 years. He came up and hugged me like I was a long lost brother.
Right. Looks like we have a Skype caller. I know. I'm sorry. It looks like we have a Skype caller, Moodykin. Who's Moodykin? And Moodykin dropped. Oh. Boo. What happened?
Don't be shy. Call
I
back.
Know. Moodykin. 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 Huh. Oh, well. Moodykin, please call back. Please.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love your input. We want to talk. You're tired of hearing our voices. Somebody
I know.
Somebody call in.
I know.
You've never had this problem before. Now, I know you've had this problem on your other show.
Yeah. Where people would call and drop out, or I would drop out. Yeah. So
right.
far, I haven't
dropped
out.
No, I'm talking about trying to get a hold of guests, and you couldn't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, and it was really funny. The funniest time, you know, Conti Hecht has his own radio show, actually on a radio station, even though it's also internet feed, on KCAA radio. And he was going to have you on his second half of his show one time.
Mm-hmm.
And now when you're watching it, when you're listening to it on the phone or on your computer, he's actually got a camera feed.
Yeah.
Well, it was so funny because you're texting me because they're on a commercial break, but
uh-huh.
the camera's still live, and
uh-huh.
he's on his phone. And you're
yeah.
going, oh, my God, he's texting somebody while he's on the line.
Yeah.
Well, he was texting me.
Oh.
Which was really funny because he was saying, you know, he had changed time slots, and his first guest for his first half of his show forgot that he changed. Thought
oh.
he was on his old time slot. So
oh,
he couldn't get over
right.
So he was texting me to call in. Now, when I did, they were having technical difficulties, and the two of us couldn't be on at the same time because they're getting feedback, static, and all sorts of stuff. Which
yeah,
was a cool show because we feed off each other so well.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of weird because you sounded like the volume was turned all the way down and it sounded really staticky and like every other word came in and stuff. I was like, aww.
I know. Aww. That sucks.
Yeah. Well, during break, they had to hang up with me and call me back too, just to make sure that my connection was okay. But you think it would work a little better because it's actual radio as opposed to like in our case, Skype. We run our show off of Skype because it sounds better than if I just did it straight off of a landline or something like that. But yeah, I was kind of bummed out that you couldn't be on the show. But
know.
I hope Moody Kin calls back. I hope Moody Kin calls back. So yeah, so 347-677-0699 if anyone wants to know a little bit more about the Masters Hall of Fame. Have any questions about it or whatever, have any questions about, you know, what you need to be, you know, nominated or whatever, just give us a call, 347-677-0699. Now, speaking of nominations, Sifu Bob, since you've been an ambassador for a much longer time than I have, can you tell our listeners what the role of an ambassador is? What exactly do we do with the organization, for the organization, what are the duties of an ambassador? So that
way
our guests know.
The basic duties, our duty to nominate and bet, and the betting process, of course, is checking out the background, checking out their title, and then nominating them according to our recommendation. Now, we have other duties that are still bestowed upon us by the organization. We've been around since 1999, and Daniel Heck took over the organization in, I believe, 06.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking for, like, an ambassador to take on the role of creating a yearbook, so to speak, that
uh-huh.
will handle all, it'll be like A to Z, all of the nominations, or all of the nominees from 1999 until present day.
Wow.
Or maybe the first 10 years to 09.
Mm-hmm.
I have created a spreadsheet. Hopefully they kept it up because my computer's crashed since then. Of every nominee from 99 to 2011.
Wow.
And that was an undertaking. Oh,
I'll
my
bet.
God. Because there was like 1 year where there was 180 inductees.
Yeah.
You know, most of the time there's 100.
Mm-hmm.
This year, as of last weekend, when was it last weekend we had the conference call?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, as of that point, there was about 75 nominees. Now, with that said, not all nominees will accept the nomination.
Right.
You know, because of travel, timing, like Dana Abbott. Great friend, great martial artist. Every other year, you know, he's an ambassador, but every other year he's touring Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So he's an ambassador every other year.
Mm-hmm.
And when his nominations come in, he won't nominate without being there.
Yeah.
And, you know, he teaches every year. You know, we're having all these seminars. Now, one time, they did charge for the seminars.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want everybody to keep in mind, all seminars all day are at no cost.
Right, right.
You know, and the only time when they really charged for it was when the person teaching the seminar was charging the organization.
Right.
Like we might have had Don Wilson teaching one year.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the seminars are on a voluntary basis, and they're all free to all the attendees of the banquet.
Right.
Which
and
is
I,
really a cool thing.
It is very cool, and that's why I urge any martial artists to at least attend the seminars. And you know what? Attend the banquet, too, before the tickets run out. I mean, you know, what better way to, you know, be in the same room as like, a bunch of great, great martial artists? You know, some celebrities.
Yeah, and something you may not know, Steve Lee, you know, we sell out every year. Whether Hanji Hecht is freaking out a couple weeks before going, we're not selling any tickets, but it always comes to fruition where last minute, last week, some people show up at the banquet and try to buy.
Yeah, that's what I heard about last year, that it, like, bam, sold out in, like, 2 days or something like that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Some years they've actually had to, near the banquet time, they've actually had to add tables.
Yeah.
Like, 2 or 3 years ago, they sold out 3 times.
Whoa.
They would sell out. They would open the partition up, add more tables. They'd sell out again. They'd add more tables. That was the cutoff.
Wow. Wow,
you know,
that's amazing.
I heard, you know, like I said before, I heard all martial artists, nominated or not, have friends there. I mean, I've had people that brought 10 people.
Yeah.
You know, the Abbad family are great supporters of this organization. They're a Kedja Kempo family. They teach. Angie Abbad has a school with her husband,
mm-hmm.
Jason. Yeah. In the South Bay part of Los Angeles, in the Torrance Gardena area. The main school is in, it's in Arizona, but I forget if it's in
I forgot
South
where,
Bay.
Yeah.
That's the Abbad Martial Arts headquarters. Their mother is coming down and getting inducted this year.
Very cool.
Oh, the mother, what's she got to do with martial arts? Dalia Abbad, the mother of Angie and Ellen Abbad she was actually Ellen Abbad's very first black belt.
Mm-hmm.
She's been in the arts for 40 or 50 years.
Exactly.
She deserves to come in. You know, she wasn't just a support system. She was also an artist. Now, you do have other parents out there that are the support system, but she was actually in the trenches kicking and punching with her daughters for years. Now, her
exactly.
daughter started about 5 years old, and out of the, I think they had five, and they're all daughters, five daughters, two of them, Angie and Dolly, stayed with the arts for many, many years. In fact, I was at a Lima Lama tournament last year that I got sort of, I was volunteered to judge. Now, I didn't volunteer, I was volunteered.
Mm-hmm.
I was standing there, and I wasn't dressed. I was in shorts and sleeveless shirts. I shouldn't have even been asked, but it was an honor. Mike Rivera was sitting there. Sensei Mike, he's part of the tournament, the organization committee, and he's waving the flags in my face. I need somebody to judge this ring. So I was sort of forced into it. And Angie Abbad came out of retirement, won grand champion for black belt kata.
Wow.
And she was 40.
Wow.
Yeah, tremendous martial artist. her husband, they were fiancés at the time, came in second in Kumite.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And he's a fabulous fighter. This guy did a scissor kick on somebody that was just absolutely fictional. I thought it was an accident. I really did. Because he fell into it. He says, no, I'm actually meant to do that.
Whoa.
It was a beautiful he did it like a I think it was a turning hook kick, and it kicked his right foot out.
Oh, right, right.
The guy, it was absolutely the most beautiful scissor kick I've ever seen.
Very cool.
And great people. They're just a beautiful, beautiful people. The whole Abbott family, Angie and April and Amy, they're all coming just to see their mother and Dustin this year.
Very cool. Good. It'll be great to see those guys again.
I'm interested in those seats. I've been doing most of the talking, which I just seem to be so good at. Who do you have coming down? Who are your nominations that you know are coming down this year?
That I know are coming down. Grandmaster Cheryl Johnson will be attending. Soke Robert Hill and Sensei Tyrone Asfi, which are two very high-ranking teachers in my karate style, Butokukan karate. I also have, I got to find my notes. Because I've nominated like 40 people, but only a few can come. So I'm having all the names pop up into my head, but I'm not remembering who is actually, said they could come. But I do know that Guru Cheryl's coming. And then Soke Hill, Sensei Asfi, Tiku Charles.
Really?
Yes, I did. Thank you for reminding me. Christopher Petrilli, I nominated. I haven't heard yet as to whether or not he's coming. And I don't know if the board of directors have sent out all of the letter packets yet to all the inductees. I know some of my nominees have gotten them. And that's when I would get the calls going, oh, I can't make it. And I said, well, just fill it out and say you can't make it. You know, that kind of thing. So I haven't heard from him yet. Sifu Charles Shepherd is coming for sure. Grandmaster Daryl Sargent has agreed to come also. And he's also going to be holding some seminars in his neck of the woods to raise funds to come down, which was a great honor. You know, he's the chief host of Modern Combat Masters, another Blog Talk radio show here, and I nominated him, and he's a very humble man. He normally, you know, stays away from, like, Hall of Fame type thing and stuff like that because he doesn't want to draw too much attention to himself, you know. But he's incredibly skilled, and he's been doing martial arts forever. And he told me over the phone, because it's you, my sister, I am going to accept. And I was, like, so honored. I was like, oh, I'm so glad. Because this will actually be the first time that I'll meet him in person. I mean, we've talked on the phone, I don't know how many hours. We've done, I don't know how many hours of show together, because I'm his co-host on Modern Combat Masters.
Right.
And, you know, it, you know, to tell you the truth, he's kind of like one of those guys that are kind of like, you know, you and Soke Greg, where, you know, in a past life, you guys might have fought alongside each other in a war together or something, right? You know, there's that bond. And oh, I have that bond with you, too. I know that somehow, some way that we had crossed paths in a past life. With Grandmaster Daryl, it feels like we had been like, I don't know, trench partners or something like that. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Very old soul, very, just very, very humble. And you know, it's going to be my honor to recognize what he's done for his community and for his art. Because he's, you know, he's recently gotten the title of Grandmaster, and he's the inheritor of Davis Jiu-Jitsu. So he's kind of going through the same stuff that Soke Greg is. He's trying to, you know, how shall we say, wear the belt, so to speak, of an inheritor of a complete system. And he's doing just fine, just like Soke Greg Wooldridge is. But it's still something that he thinks about. He's like, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm an inheritor. You know, there's always that, oh, gosh, what do I do? You know what I mean?
Right.
Let's see who else is coming. I'm looking for my notes. Because I'll go ahead and announce who I nominated to recognize them too, and to tell everyone who's going to be coming. Okay, so I nominated Sensei Tyrone Asfi, who will be attending, Sifu Blake Emery, who's a Tai Chi instructor. I think he's coming. Shifu Corey Great, who is a one of the founding members of the Pacific Association of Women Martial Artists. She sadly can't come this year. Soke Robert Hill of Butokukan Karate will be attending. My teacher, Master Yi Zhao Hong, who is also a well-known Tai Chi instructor. She cannot make it this year. Grandmaster Cheryl Johnson of Doce Pares and the Filipino Martial Arts Academy. She will be attending. Sensei Laurie O'Connell of Kanru Jiu-Jitsu sadly won't be able to attend. Grandmaster Christopher Petrelli, I haven't heard yet if he's attending or not. Grandmaster Daryl Sargent will be attending. Sifu Charles Shepherd will be attending. And Sifu Helen Yi, I don't know yet if she's attending. I could swear she said that she couldn't attend due to some other thing, but I'll double check with her. Oh, and that reminds me, this is kind of off subject, but I want to do a big shout out to Sifu Helen Yi. She is also a member of the PAMA organization, Pacific Association of Women Martial Artists, and also the Association of Women's Martial Arts Instructors, also known as AME. And just this past week, if I remember correctly, she was in a situation that if her martial arts training did not kick in, she might have lost her life. She had just arrived home from a band practice. She's a bass player for a band. And she just turned off her car, and she went to go open the back door to her back seat to get her bass guitar out, and some hooded dude slid into the seat from the other side and pointed a gun at her and said, "You're going to drive." And she said, "What?"
She said, "What? No, I'm not."
And she said, "What?" And the guy goes, "You're going to drive." And in the interview that she had shortly thereafter, she said that, "In my head, I'm thinking, oh, crap, there's no way I'm going to drive anywhere with this guy. No way. Because I know what's going to happen when the car stops." Right? So she just off the top of her head goes, "Hey, I know you. You're Darren's friend." And the guy goes, "You don't know me." But she said that just so she would have some time to think. Right? So a good, like, maybe 20 seconds went by. "Yeah, you're Darren's friend. I met you at the ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da," right? So imagine what's going on through this kid's mind, right? Oh, heck.
Right.
Who did I meet? Right? Did I really meet this chick? So his mind is going 100 miles an hour, too. Going, "Oh, my God, does she know me?" Well, that gave her enough time to shut the door and go running and screaming, "Help, help, help," right? She started banging on doors. She banged on a neighbor's door and stuff like that, and they wouldn't answer, but she managed to duck underneath a neighbor's SUV and didn't see the guy's feet at that point. So, and I forgot what happened next. She managed to crawl out and managed to find someone. No, I take that back. Her neighbor, who's a firefighter, saw what was going on because he thought it was kind of weird that there was this car down the block that was just kind of hanging out that he'd never seen before. And he thought it was kind of weird that he saw this guy running toward Helen's car. And he called the police. So after she found somebody, after knocking on doors and stuff like that, the police caught up with this guy, minus the hooded sweatshirt, and arrested him. And if I remember correctly, he still had the gun and all this other kind of stuff. And so, yeah, so he's in custody. And, you know, kudos to Helen Yi for using her brains and keeping calm in a situation like that and using her martial arts training. 'Cause, like, you know, all too many people think that martial arts is all about, you know, breaking their arms and this and that and the other, you know, and I'm willing to guess, I don't know because I'm not a guy, I'm willing to guess that guys would have a different way that they would handle it. Well, I would do this and I would do that. Well, you're not a woman. This is what I would say to guys. You're not a woman in a situation like that. Granted, he's in the car. She's halfway in the car. You know, well, I would break his arm. You know, I would imagine just in my head, just going over this in my head, there's no way that you could get in a position to break his arm in the car, in the back seat, without getting shot.
Right.
Right? You know, there's no way, considering that, you know, she was far enough away from the gun to be able to close that distance in enough time without getting shot in the face, right? So she actually went through all of this in her head and determined, there's no way I'm going to be able to disarm this guy. There's no way I'm going to be able to, you know, fight this guy the way that I could fight this guy in a back seat. So she chose to slam the door and run, right? And scream for help, right? And knock on doors and hide under an SUV and stuff like that. And, you know, I think that's what Bruce Lee meant by fighting without fighting, right? And kudos to her for proving that martial arts is not just breaking arms and kicking ass. That kind of
thing. Absolutely. And you know what? One thing's funny is usually everybody says, oh, I would have done this, I would have done that. Put yourself in that situation, Stevie could have done it.
Right, right. Exactly. Because, you know, I would venture to guess, and if there are any people out there that know the numbers, you know, call in 347-677-0699. I would venture to guess that out of all the martial artists in the world, maybe only, I'm only guessing, maybe anywhere from like 20 to maybe 40% of all the martial artists in the world has been in a real life or death situation. Ooh, bless you.
Right. No, that was a cough. I'm covered up. I'm like some people. I'm not coughing up a lung though.
Oh, okay, good. I'll do that for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, and I don't know what the numbers are, but, you know, for the most part, I know that there are martial artists out there that practice martial arts for the art, for the hobby, for the recreation, for the love of it, for the love of being fit, for the love of the culture, and you know, having the confidence to be able to defend themselves. But I would say that not everyone has been in a situation where they would, you know, have to figure out for themselves, holy crap, now what? You know, I've been there.
I've been there.
Yeah.
And
you
I
know,
followed.
Have I been there?
I bodyguarded a long time ago. Mm-hmm. In fact, Brandon, I think, was about 3 months old.
Oh.
I was held up at gunpoint in Pomona because I bodyguarded strippers, and we got followed to the gas station by one of the party attendees.
Oh.
And it was in South Pomona, gang-ridden.
Right.
And, I mean, this guy actually pushed the gun into my pelvis.
Oh,
I
God.
I gave him my fanny pack, and he split, thank God.
Yeah, yeah.
Because all these things were going through my mind. Oh, my God, my kids are going to be fatherless.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, Free wasn't born yet. But, you know, a lot of things go through your mind. My life passed before my eyes, it's true.
It is true. And a lot of people, and you know, I applaud many, many programs out there that teach realistic self-defense. I do. Okay. And I especially applaud self-defense courses that actually put you through the adrenal stress. So that way you know what it feels like to be able to move when your arms and legs feel like they weigh 100 pounds apiece. I applaud those. But unfortunately, there are programs out there that teach self-defense, in this case to women, from a man's point of view. And I'm not trying to be feminist, everyone, so, you know, don't flame me. Don't start calling in going, oh, my God, you're being a feminist. I'm not. But it's true. A lot of males will teach women self-defense. And a lot of the techniques are from a male point of view, from a strength point of view. Sorry, guys. It's just not how it works.
That's right. Because you and I have discussed this before, that women have to do it. In fact, we were doing this with Deb Evans.
Yeah.
Women have to do it better and faster than men do because they don't have the upper body strength.
Yeah, we don't have the strength. And, in fact, I was talking to someone the other day. I forgot who I was talking to about, you know, big old beefy 280-pound, 6'5" guys and stuff like that. And we were talking about grappling. And I said, you know, I'd like to think that I could, you know, kind of hold my own with a, you know, Brazilian jiu-jitsu beginner. I mean, my ground skills are okay. They're not great. You know, I'd love to take a BJJ courses and stuff. I just don't have the time. Because I'd really love to improve my ground game. So I'll just say that I suck at the ground. But if need be, I can hold my own. But if a 250-pound guy managed to pin me, then it gets a little different. You know, I'm not going to be able to, you know, pull off a kimura. You know, am I going to bite?
Right.
If it takes me to, like, you know, pull a Mike Tyson and bite someone's ear off, I will. I'll deal with the risk of AIDS later. You know, I'll pinch. I'll grab packages and start ripping them off until they get off of me and stuff like that. But when it comes to grappling while being pinned, I know I suck at that.
That's where our primal instincts come into play.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to be able to, you know, I was teaching class for Mike Rivera last week and Richard Nunez where maybe the height didn't match or something. We're teaching spacecraft and this and that. Well, what if I can't reach? Well, you break their knee down. You hip check them.
Yeah.
You knee them in the groin.
Yeah.
Guess what? They're not so tall anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And so as far as like the ground game or even height doesn't bother me. I remember some guy asking me once, so if I attack, in fact, this happened during a class one time, some guy came in from the tavern next door and came in through one of our entrances and said, and he was like completely drunk. I could smell him from the floor and he was still sitting in the lobby. And I said, can I help you? And he stood up. Tall dude too, and he goes, so if I attack you, would you be able to take me on? And I said, that depends. Are you attacking me? And I started to put out this energy like, you don't want this, right? And he backed up. He's like, oh, hey, I, you know, calm down. I was just asking. And I'm like, I'm calm. I'm just asking too. Are you attacking me? And he left. And then I locked the door. And all the students were sitting there going, oh God, I thought you were going to kick his ass. I'm like, it's not about that, you know. If I can avoid having to, you know, to throw down, I'll avoid it. But, you know, if worse came to worse, then, you know, I would have tried to kick his butt. And I know that, like, a class full of students would have chimed in, too. But, you know, and it didn't matter how tall he was. In my head, I'm thinking, I've already mapped him out, right? He makes one move, I'm going to kick him here, and I'm going to, you know, palm strike him there, and I'm going to grab his head, and I'm going to bang his head up against the pony wall and throw him out, lock the door. You know, I had it all mapped out, his targets and stuff like that. It didn't matter to me that his groin was as high as my solar plexus. It's closer to my closer to my hands, right? So, just kudos to Helen Yee for having the martial mind, the warrior mind kick in. And not, you know, try to be a hero. Now, I'm not saying that guys would do that, you know, but, you know, I'm just saying that, you know, congrats to her for being a warrior. And I'm really, really glad that she came out of it okay, because I would have been a sad puppy to have heard that she'd gotten injured or otherwise.
Absolutely. You know, well, it was really funny. Something happened years and years ago. I was in a bar, and just like you, I was accosted by this drunk guy, and this guy was toasted beyond belief, and he stood in front of me, wouldn't let me pass, so I did almost like a, I did a female triangle, really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Walked around. I just did a real quick switch on my footwork, walked right around him, and he looked back and goes, "What just happened?"
Yeah, you made his head spin.
It was great.
Oh my God, that reminds me. I know we're going off the subject of Masters Hall of Fame, but since it's like an open forum now, right? Okay, we'll open it up. 347-677-0699. We got about 35 minutes left in the show. If you want to talk about anything, call in. This reminds me of a story that happened years ago with Guru Cheryl. Me and Guru Cheryl and some friends were at a club, and I went to go get another drink. We were sitting at this round table, and I went and got a drink, and a drink for Guru, I think. So I was coming back from the bar, and through the crowd, I could see this guy sitting across from Guru, and he's like pointing at her, and he's looking like he's screaming. This bald-headed guy, right? He's looking like he's screaming, and I'm like trying to walk through the crowd a little faster. I'm like, what the hell's going on, right? And I get there, and all I hear is, "What? You don't know me. I've got steel plate in my head." And he starts banging his head on the table. And Guru's like, "You're going to have to leave." And he stands up and starts poking her in the chest. "What? Am I not good enough for you?" So I'm guessing that he tried to hit on her.
Right.
And he told him to F off, pretty much. And so he started poking his finger in her chest. And she just stood up, grabbed his hand, and like just bent his finger back. Boom. And his head hit the table again. And he grabbed his ears and like twisted it, wham, and basically pootered him on the table. And started like boom, and he got up on the chair and like, you know, sat over him and goes, "I told you to leave. You're gonna leave." Threw him off the table, and I'm still sitting there with the drinks in my hand, going, "What the hell just happened?" So there's like chairs flying everywhere, and I just kind of like picked up a chair, righted it up with my foot, and sat down. And I said, "Here you go." Who was that guy? And we just started drinking. And then the security came and dragged him, the guy screaming and spitting and puking all over the place. And I was just like, "The hell happened there? Did you tell him to F off?" And he's like, "Yeah." And I went, "Oh, gosh, maybe we're in the wrong club." Anyway, I think we have a caller, and I think this might be your son, Brandon.
Maybe.
You? Maybe.
Am I on? Hi.
Yes. Hi. What's up?
Hi. I was actually having fun listening to stories about drunk idiots.
Oh God! It's always why is it that alcohol turns people into instant idiots? I don't know. It's crazy.
And they think they can take on the world, and they can't.
Oh, I know, right? But this guy with the steel plate in his head, I was just like, oh my God! Which explains why Guru turned his head and started banging his temple into the table. I was like, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. It's kind of like, well, he's not going to be pointing with that finger for a couple months.
That's right, he'll have to switch hands.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Brandon, we're talking about the Masters Hall of Fame. What is your experience? You've gone to three or four of them with me. What do you think about the Masters?
About the dinner or just about like the organization in general?
Everything. The organization, the event itself. What do you think? What's your own opinion? Other than the food sucked when you were there.
Okay. That's the point. Ben has listening to this radio show.
We don't know yet. We can't get a hold of him.
No, I mean, I think the dinner, obviously. I know you guys have both been to the Masters Dinner, and yeah, they suck, but I think they do a really good job to make the people feel honored, at least during the ceremony.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
I think they try to put them to a really high esteem, and I think at least that part's good. And they do a lot to try to nominate as many people as they can. So, I mean, I think they're good in that aspect, but, like, the event itself, I don't like it that much. You know?
Right.
It just could be a little bit better.
Well, suggestions so we can forward, like, you know, other than the dinner, because we, you know, we all know that that one, well, the year that I was there, and I think that it was no fault of Dan. It was just that, you know, the board of directors took the hotel's word for it, or not the hotel, the convention center's word for it, that that the food was going to be a number one. And, you know, in the past, now, Bob, in the past, I know that Dan had actually gone personally to do taste tests, correct?
Well, no, this was actually, as far as I know, this was his first year that he did, was 2012.
Oh, okay.
And that's why the dinner was so good this year.
Yeah, that was crazy
he
good.
Oh, yeah, it was insane, and that's why we're having it at the same place. Now, we had it at Costa Mesa Hilton. This is our third year there. We had it in 07 and 12. Well, we're having it again in 13. When I was inducted in 08, we had it at the Hilton, at the Anaheim Hilton, which was right next door to the Anaheim Convention Center, where it was when you were inducted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Brandon, correct me if I'm wrong, you were at 08, 09, 010, and 11. So you've been at actually four of them with me.
I think so. Really? Was that the four of them?
Yeah, you were at four of them. You were when I was inducted the 3 years after. The last one you were at was in 11 when Cecil Rusty was inducted into the organization.
I remember that.
Yeah.
And it was convention food, you know what I mean?
It was
good, but it wasn't like. But I think, like I said, I think it was good only because I was starving. But but you know, I don't fault anybody. You know, I don't fault the board of directors or anybody for it. It's, you know, if anything, it's the venues that we had them at. You know, if the venue is going to say our food is a number one, then one, offer a free taste test, bring in your chef, have them make what, you know, what they plan on making, make the whole deal, and have the board of directors taste it at their dime. Or number two, bring up some reviews from, you know, high class clients or something like that, you know, and prove it, you know, and don't surprise us, you know, with convention airplane food, you know, the day of, you know, it's, you know, if anything, it's the venues that need to, you know, step up a little bit.
Exactly. And every year, and knowing the problems, they've been accepting the feedback from their attendees, and they've made it better every year. They've taken the suggestions and gone with it and made it better. I mean, the food was incredible last year, and it's going to be incredible again this year.
I so can't wait. My stomach just growled thinking about last year's dinner.
Oh, I know. That was an incredible dinner. Some good things happening with the Masters. I'm really looking forward to it. You know, Dan just we're you know, we're giving back. We're there to just have a good time, socialize. We're also having a social event this year for the first time on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can get together in the bar, just have a couple drinks, socialize, and then you and I are going to be there. You're coming down a couple days early just so we can hang out. And I'm sure your students and everybody's probably coming in Saturday morning, Friday night, maybe.
I think they're coming in. I want to plan it so they come in like maybe Thursday night or something or whatever. I don't know. I'm going to have to figure it out, keep it cheap, because it's going to be at the Hilton, so, you know, it kind of depends on what seminars I can pull up to help bring Guru Cheryl out. And
now, are you
like
having
that.
Any students come down?
Yes. Right now, there are three people that are definitely interested in going, and I've been reminding them every week, you know, save up your dollars, you know, get your plane ticket early or whatever, right? You know, or let's plan it now. Let's get our plane tickets now, and then we'll reimburse ourselves with the seminar or whatever. I don't know how we're going to do it, but I know that I'm going to be getting started here real soon, trying to get some seminars for Guru together. So that way we can send her to get her award. I think that'll be cool. So,
oh, that'd
but,
be very cool. You know, and I'm wondering when we're going to do our show. From there, we may have to,
yeah,
to you know, record it and then air it at a different time. Maybe if you tell us having our first thing in the morning, we can do our show later in the afternoon, since there are going to be people wandering around that are going to be involved,
yeah,
with these things. Because you and I don't have much to do on that night.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good idea that I think we get our seminars out of the way, and hope to gosh that there's a Wi-Fi connection I can get to. And I hope I can find a way to figure out how we can get mics for this. You know, mics with the collars, you know, the fancy collars with our logo on it, and have it communicate with my computer. So I've got all these plans as to what I want to do to make our show look really professional and stuff like that, rather than us being on our phones.
right.
But well, I'll have it figured out by then, hopefully. But yeah, we're really excited about this year. So okay,
yeah,
listeners, 347-677.
Yeah,
I'm still here. I was just listening.
Okay.
What?
Now, did you enjoy the years you went?
well, it's kind of hard for me to say. Well, I mean, I was like, how old was I? Like 10, 15? 14.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I hear you. Yeah.
I was like 14. I mean, it wasn't like the dinner was okay, but then, like, once the award started, it was really prolonged.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, I think he remembers. I think I went to the hotel, like, early, like, every single year.
Right.
Yeah, right after the dinner, he's like, Dad, give me the room key.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I remember being that age, and I had to go to a lot of formal stuff because my dad was a Mason, and we had to go through a lot of formal junk and stuff like that. And there was no hotel to go to, so I had to sit through it, and I was so bored, you know.
Yeah, but every year he always bugged me for a ticket, even though he knew he was going to be bored. I think it was just something to do with Dad and get out of the house, spend a night in a hotel.
Right.
You know, have dinner away, and, you know, breakfast and all that, just spend
yeah.
time together, which was really cool.
But it is fun, you know, Dad and son time, you know.
Yeah, except for after the dinner. Everything he does after the dinner, I can't be a part of.
Oh, yeah, down in the bar, and yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He's got another 3 years since he just turned 18.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you stick with the martial arts there, buddy, I'm sure
yeah.
one of us will induct you. I'll induct you when you turn 21, and I'll buy you a drink.
Yeah, except I would have had to have dropped that year because part of the bylaws say no ambassador can induct a family member of another ambassador.
Oh, I see. Okay. I see.
Well,
so,
I mean, Dad, if I become to the rank where I am, you know, where I am honorable enough to receive that rank, I'm guessing you'll be probably dead.
Oh, shoot.
That's what I'm guessing. Because, you know.
No, not necessarily,
because there are
awards where you don't have to be, like, you know, 20th degree or anything like that, right? You know, because
right.
there's the Pioneer Award where you have to be, what, at least first degree, right?
Right.
A humanitarian.
Isn't that at least, like, first degree black belt?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So humanitarian and Pioneer, I think.
Contribution to the martial
and
arts.
Contributions, yeah, you have to be at least first degree.
Mm-hmm.
But if no other ambassador can nominate another ambassador's family member, then I guess that would mean for that year that ambassador can't nominate anyone, right?
Right, right. We'd have to drop out for a period of
right.
Time.
Huh. That's interesting.
I'm trying to pull up the different categories.
Oh, right. I think I'm there.
There we go. different categories, four nominations into the Masters Hall of Fame. I'm going to start at the bottom and work my way up.
Okay.
Outstanding contribution to the martial arts, minimum first hand ranking.
Oh, okay.
Or your respective ranking, because we've discussed that there's no you know, they've started to, but there was no real black belt ranking or Dan ranking within the Kung Fu rank, or within the Tai Chi rank, or within the Jeet Kune Do rank, because those are more certificate ranks.
Right.
Humanitarian Award, minimum first Dan ranking. Pioneer Award, minimum third Dan ranking.
Oh, I was wrong about the Pioneer Award. Okay.
Yeah. Living Legend Award, minimum fourth Dan ranking. Lifetime Achievement Award, over 20 years in the martial arts and minimum fifth Dan ranking. Which award did I nominate you for, Susan? Do you remember?
Silver.
Silver, which is the next one. Silver Lifetime Achievement Award, over 30 years in the martial arts and minimum sixth Dan ranking. Golden Lifetime Achievement Award, over 40 years in the martial arts and a minimum of seventh Dan ranking. I think that's what I nominated Professor McDaniels for.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one, the highest award, is Platinum Lifetime Achievement Award, which was Bill Wallace when I got nominated. That's over 50 years in the martial arts and a minimum of eighth Dan.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Very cool.
And another couple things, you can't be nominated more than once, even though it has happened in the past. We've alleviated that. There are people that have been inducted three times.
Oh, so you can't be inducted more than once, but you can.
More than
but
once.
Can you
right.
nominate people more than once?
Right. Now I've got sort of a thing that I've only done it a couple times where I won't nominate somebody more than once.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain conditions that will nominate somebody more than once. That's if they're out of the country the first year.
Mm-hmm.
I'll nominate them again. But if they don't accept it, they'll never be nominated at all, ever again, by me anyway.
Oh, okay. But technically, someone can be nominated more than once, but you can't be inducted more than once, because that would make
right.
no sense.
Right, right. I mean, there have been several, and I think Willie Acula, three times. David Mozak, three times. Great martial artist, deserved to be in the Masters Hall of Fame, but now it's not more than once.
Yeah, well, one time is a great enough honor anyway. You know, it's like, I can't imagine what other categories someone can be, you know, nominated in. So, like, for example, if someone got nominated in as, like, a silver, for example, you know, and then they get, you know, inducted the next year as a humanitarian. It's like, at that point, what's the point?
Right.
Because they're already in the Masters Hall of Fame, you know. So, but yeah, and I think that's why this organization is so, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm looking for something that's, something like reputable and elite in a way, is that once you get nominated once, it's a huge honor, and that's it. You get nominated once, you know?
It is. Now, I was actually nominated this year for Alan Goldberg.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
But
right
I couldn't
on.
Make it. It was too high.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to go back to New Jersey. I mean, I'd love to visit Atlantic City. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And this year is going to be a lot of traveling anyway. I mean, for me, I've got PAMA, the PAMA camp. I kind of have to go because I'm on the teacher selection board. And then I've got, then we've got MACE. We got to figure out a way to get out to MACE, the Martial Arts Communication Expo.
That's in Washington, so I don't know if I'll be able to make that.
Yeah.
But that's going to be a great event.
Yeah. And then there's, I got to go to my niece's debut ball. Oh my gosh, there's a lot of traveling this year, and I'm like, criminy, I'm not going to be able to afford all this. Gee whiz.
Mortgage out of the house.
Yeah, right? Oh my God. Gee whiz. But yeah, great, great organization, Masters Hall of Fame.
Remember our motto. What is recognizing
excellence
in the martial arts?
Yeah.
Yes.
Since 1999. Yes. And, you know, and for our listeners out there that do think that it's all about, you know, in order to be inducted, that you have to be some elite celebrity or someone that has been doing martial arts for, like, you know, 50 years or something. No, you don't. You know, if you've been making great contributions in proliferating your art, if you're making great contributions to your community, you know, if your community recognizes you as an upstanding individual, you know, if you're, you know, doing martial arts for all the right reasons, you know, just if you're just an upstanding martial artist, doesn't matter if you're first degree or 10th degree, you have the capability of being nominated as an inductee. Now, that reminds me to ask Sifu Bob, have you ever heard of any people actually nominating themselves?
I believe so. Even though it hasn't come across, people have contacted me. I think you should nominate this person. But it's funny that the email has that they send me from has this person's name in it.
Oh.
So I think people nominated themselves, but not telling me. They act as a student, this person. So it doesn't seem like they have a big ego trip.
Oh, right. As we say on forum boards, SWIM contacted me. SWIM is that acronym for someone who isn't me. Oh,
nice.
God.
Nice.
Yeah. But I decided to ask that because that question just came up to me. I'm like, has anyone ever really gone so far as to try to nominate themselves? Because personally, and this is just me speaking, you know, out my butt, I think that's ridiculous to nominate yourself.
You know, at least have a chance to do it.
Right. Right. You know, and I think for, I know, like, at least here in Seattle, they have, like, these contests for, like, King Five, like, the best in Seattle or something like that. And one of the stipulations is you cannot nominate yourself. It has to be someone else that is associated with you but is not you. That keeps, you know, any event that goes on nomination basis very reputable, because, you know, we don't want the organization to look like, you know, number one, oh, I get to pay $150 and have an award mailed to me. Yay, I'm in the Masters Hall of Fame, but never attended the event or met anyone at the event, or B, you know, I got inducted because I nominated myself. You know what I mean?
No, like,
yeah. I mean,
like,
that
kind of, like, takes something away from it, I think, because, like,
it does.
Then I feel like it's just a piece of paper and a trophy. Like,
exactly.
The memories are part of what makes it special.
Exactly. Well, wow, Bob and Brandon, I just looked at the clock. We have a minute and 30 seconds left to our show. So, can you believe that?
I can't believe you and I talked for 2 hours.
I know, right? So we're going to have to, like, end the show. It was a really great show. Me and Robert are really bummed that we couldn't get Hanshi Dan on the phone. And Sifu, Robert, if you get a hold of Hanshi Dan sometime today, just let him know that we missed him. And we'll have him on again, and I hope that everything's okay.
Definitely.
You know, so, because, you know, it's something like to not respond after a couple hours and stuff like that. So anyhow, everybody, thanks for listening to me and Robert and Brandon talk to ourselves for 2 hours. Join us next week as we have our show, Women in the Martial Arts. We'll have some women martial artists, including crew Lisa King, ring fighter, that will be joining us, and hopefully a guest from Thailand. I'll be recording some recorded answers from one of our female guests that is residing in Thailand. So have a great week, everybody, and we will see everyone next week for the Women in Martial Arts discussion. Bye, Brandon. Bye, Sifu Robert.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.